welcome everybody on a Tuesday. Draft Talk with Tony Browski is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, the returning Eli Bashy is here, and a couple returning guests are here as well, Grant Richards and Tyler Sawa. Hello, gentlemen. Welcome back, Eli. Thanks for joining me today, everybody. Let's get the show started, but before we begin, let's take care of some business. I would like to thank the sponsor of this episode today. This episode is sponsored by Roast Umber Michigan-made coffee. Visit the website, roastumber.com. If you make a coffee order, use the coupon code TONYD for 20% off. And if you do use my coupon code on roastumber.com, the first 25 orders will get a free 1-pound bag of coffee with their order. Thank you again, Roast Umber, for sponsoring this episode. I really do appreciate it. So now, gentlemen, let's get into the program. Let's start with the intros, as always, and let's begin with the returning Eli Bashy. Eli, it's been a minute. How's everything going, man? How's life treating you?
Hey, man, staying busy, working, school, but it's looking like I'm going to be on schedule to do trash talk.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, new. It's like a new work and school schedule, right?
Yeah, everything.
Yeah,
it's kind of rough, but I'll get through it. I'll get through it like I always do.
Well, hey, you want to talk some Pistons today?
You want to talk about Bol Bol?
Oh, okay. Well, we're not actually going to talk Pistons today, but I mean, hey, Bol Bol. That's actually
we'll acknowledge it. Yeah.
That's not a bad move.
No, it's better than Rodney Magruder in the 60th pick. I'd rather have Bol Bol. He's a lob threat at least, probably our best lob threat on the team, even though he's a 7'3" small forward, which is, you know, I don't know. Is he going to play center? Who knows? His biggest question is how durable can he be? Can he play big minutes?
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
We'll hopefully find out. I mean, Woj did tweet when he broke the news on Sunday that the plan is for the Pistons to give him an increased role, which is good. I mean, like you said, low risk, kind of high reward for Trey Weaver. So let's see if it works. That's great. If he doesn't work out here, he gave up Rodney Magruder and what's going to turn into a late second round pick. So it is what it is. But Bol Bol, he's exciting. He's exciting. People around the league know who Bol Bol is. So. Eh, there is that, I guess, with our bad basketball team. But Eli, good to have you back. Let's move over to Grant and Tyler, who are returning. Let's start with Tyler. I want to end with Grant. We got to talk about Grant's Raiders to close out the intros. But let's start with Tyler. Hello, Tyler. How are you today? How is your football Sunday? I think you tweeted that it was a pretty entertaining football Sunday for you.
Absolutely amazing. Great. Week 18 of football, the inaugural week 18 of the NFL. It was amazing, man. Started off with the bang. Well, I guess Saturday was the first game.
Yeah,
but
that's
true.
Yeah.
I didn't really care. But starting Sunday, 1 o'clock, Lions beat the Packers in a week 18. Season finale game.
Oh, but Tyler, they ruined their shot at the number one pick.
Which they actually had a chance to get the number one pick, which is actually kind of crazy because the Jaguars actually ended up winning the game and cost – total chaos around
the
league. Thanks
for busting my parlay, Colts.
But
love you.
Lions win an absolute banger of a game Sunday. Didn't really mean anything for either team, but it's just always fun being the Packers and being at Ford Field for it was amazing. And then, you know, the 4 o'clock games, just some more really good football games. Sucked that the Rams lost, but a really good football game over there.
Hey, guess who won that division though?
They still won the
division. Who won that division, Eli?
Matthew Stafford.
Hey.
So that was great. And then the Sunday night game, which I know we'll definitely get into.
We'll talk about that in a second here.
Yeah, I know we'll definitely get into that. But one of the greatest football games I've ever witnessed. And an absolute amazing edition of week 18 of the inaugural season. You can't really ask for much more. It was a great NFL Sunday.
Tyler, what was a better regular season football game? The Sunday night game that we just watched between the Chargers and the Raiders, or I believe it was 2018, Monday night, Chiefs at Rams?
So that was the high scoring game, right? It was like 50-something. It was super high scoring.
And a lot of people say that's the best regular season game ever.
Yeah. Believe it or not, I actually was at a Pistons game for that game during that game. So I watched the tail end of it. So I'm going to say the Raiders and Chargers just because I watched from start to finish with this game compared to that Rams and Chiefs game, which I know was crazy high scoring. And believe it or not, Jared Goff was the starting quarterback and won that game. But I'll say the Chargers and Raiders game for me.
Both games are really fun, but Chiefs and Rams, I didn't really have a connection to that game. The Chargers and the Raiders on Sunday night, we had a little bit of a connection because of Grant, our Raiders guy. I was pulling for the Raiders in that game. I really was. I was pacing my room back and forth. I'm sure Grant was on the floor.
And, you know, I'm a Justin Herbert guy, too, and I obviously like the Raiders because of, you know, Grant. I want them to win because of Grant. But I'm a Justin Herbert guy, so there was a lot on the line during that game. A super, super fun game. And, you know, there was that crazy tie scenario that almost actually came into play, which was unreal.
Well, it seemed like the plan was to it was to do a tie, and then Brandon Staley called that timeout. But, yeah, that was still a crazy, crazy football game. Tyler, I think it's time we officially apologize to Grant to his Vegas Raiders.
I mean, we did it a little bit last week, but, yeah, I'll officially apologize this week because I didn't think they were going to win this game. I texted you on the side. I didn't have the heart to tell Grant that I didn't think the Raiders were going to win this Sunday. I'll say it now.
Tyler believed in the coin.
It wasn't really the coin, but, yeah, I thought the Chargers were going to win the football game. And, man, just the Raiders, what they did this season and what they did in that game, just truly unbelievable with all the, you know, circumstances that they've went through this whole season. Like, if any team has gone through as much adversity through a season – and had this much success, I don't think I've ever seen it. It's absolutely unbelievable with how much adversity they have gone through, and they have conquered it week in and week out and won multiple big games and ended their season with a 10-win year and the fifth seed in the wild card. That is absolutely unbelievable.
Let me see if I still have it in my notes. I don't. Okay.
If you're looking for predictions, I said they're a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking for our pre-NFL season predictions. I'm pretty sure I said like 6 or 7 wins. I think Tyler said the same thing.
I might have been lower, honestly. But, yeah, I think I was like at a 5 to 6 win. I thought they were a top 10 pick, so take that for whatever it is. So,
and you know what? Maybe they should have been with all the stuff they went through. But,
yeah,
man, exactly. With everything they went through, and we mentioned this last week, but with everything the Raiders went through this season – man, you got to give so much credit to that team. You got to give so much credit to that team. To Derek Carr, the interim coach, that entire roster. I mean, everyone deserves credit. That's unbelievable. And now they have one of the more anticipated playoff games for me personally. Raiders and Bengals, I'm really looking forward to that game.
It's the first game of the playoffs. It's going to be the opening game, which I don't think any fan of the NFL is complaining after the Raiders' last football game of the season. I don't think anybody's complained that the Raiders are the first game of the playoffs to open it up.
No, I mean, and plus two with Wild Card Weekend, there's a lot of really exciting matchups. I mean, I just mentioned Raiders and Bengals on Saturday. Also on Saturday, you've got the Bills and the Patriots. That's going to be a cool
AFC
game.
AFC East showdown.
Sunday, I'm really interested in 49ers and Cowboys.
I could see an upset there.
I do, too. That's why I'm really interested in it. Monday night, Stafford and the Rams hosting the Cardinals. Go Rams, baby. But, okay, let's not waste any more time. Let's get to Grant here. Grant, our Vegas Raiders guy. Are you okay? How are you doing today?
I mean, I'm good now. I didn't sleep until like 3. Game ended around midnight. My heart was still going for about 2:30, and then I finally kind of settled down and got 3 hours of sleep before work. So can't complain there. No, that was if I'm just getting right into it, that was the most insane game I think I've ever watched. Like, to answer your question about the Rams, Chiefs, there's something about – it's probably because of my allegiance to the Raiders where, like, I was so much more involved and it wasn't really a shootout. Like, there were a lot of defensive plays that people weren't scoring with ease. It was just, like, any time could be the dagger. And, oh, my God, so many, like, blown fourth downs. I mean, Justin Herbert, like, didn't seem to care until fourth down. And then he'd drop a dot to – Keenan Allen or Jared Cook or Mike Williams had that big run where I thought he was gone and the season was over. Oh my God, dude, that was well worth being incredibly exhausted today.
With everything you've went through this season, you're in the playoffs. Like, how does that feel?
Unbelievable is an understatement. Like, if after the Ruggs incident and the Gruden incidents, it was kind of like, okay, we'll get him next year. Let's see what this interim coach can do, see what Coach Rich can do, and then we kind of move on. We still have a decent young roster. We can build off this and make a quick flip next year. And even when it came down to what started the Cleveland Browns game, when the Raiders were 6-7, I believe, or somewhere around there, like, yeah, they had to be 6-7. It was like, okay, they got to win out. They got to win out to make the playoffs. And I've done this every single year where it's like they have to win out to make the playoffs. It's like, let's see how far we can ride this until we're eliminated. And it just never happened. They just kept winning. It truly couldn't have predicted this halfway through the season, let alone with 4 weeks left to go.
You know, last week I gave Derek Carr a lot of credit. And again, he does deserve a lot of credit. It seems like a lot of people are starting to realize what me and Grant have been saying for a while about Derek Carr, that you can't win in this league with him as your quarterback. And now this week, I want to show some love to your interim coach, Rich Bisacci. You know, he has done an absolutely incredible job. And Grant, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. We'll get into the Lions topic in a minute here. But Grant, I do want to ask you, because Rich is an interim coach. Me personally, as an outsider, I feel like he's done such a good enough job already, regardless of what happens in the playoff game against Cincinnati. I feel like he's done a good enough job to just become your straight up full-time head coach. But there is one candidate out there, and this is where I'm curious to hear your thoughts. There's one candidate out there that became available on Black Monday that, oh, if I was a Raiders fan, I'd be like, man, Rich has done a really good job, but like, I think you should go get Brian Flores.
Jim Harbaugh.
No. He did not become available on Black Monday. I mean, Jim Harbaugh's name is connected to the Vegas Raiders, but I would go get Brian Flores. I can't believe Miami got rid of him. I really don't. I think he's an excellent head coach. And while Rich Bisacci has done such a good job that you can make a strong argument that he should just become the full-time head coach, and apparently he does have the support of the locker room, man, like, dude, if Brian Flores is out there, the Raiders, I think without question, are the most attractive job opening of all the teams that need a head coach this offseason so far. Oh, man, like, if I'm the Raiders, I'm trying to go get Brian Flores. But Grant, what's your take on that?
I mean, first off, before you said Black Monday, I thought you were going the Harbaugh route, and that's, we're good.
And, but, you know, not to cut you off, but I mean, Harbaugh has been connected to the Raiders. And it does seem like there's a lot of buzz about Harbaugh maybe making the jump back to the NFL. But, like, Harbaugh's not a bad NFL coach. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I don't know. I don't know if I see the fit there. But Brian Flores, that's a guy that if I was the Raiders, I'd be like, you got to go get him.
If the Raiders hadn't had tons and tons of adversity to deal with this season and, like, really just needed – if they didn't need to come together and really kind of dedicate themselves to the goal of getting to the playoffs, and it was just a, hey, they had a 10-7 season with an interim head coach, yeah, I'd be on board. I mean, I am on board the Brian Flores train. I really liked Brian Flores in Miami. I was shocked after the run they went on that he got the axe. But like I was kind of saying earlier, with all the adversity the Raiders have been through, I mean, even like John Madden passing away kind of played a role in that too. You saw them kind of dedicate the Week 18 game to him. I would be a lot more on board the Brian Flores train. Like, if they go get Brian Flores, I want it on the record. I'm very happy with him as the coach. I liked what he was doing in Miami. I had Miami as a sleeper team at the start of the season. But seeing how the guys rallied around Coach Rich and what he did with the team, Yeah, there were some bad losses, but I still think that was him kind of spinning his wheels. You can't throw an interim coach in and expect him to go on like a 5-game run. I think we saw enough. I think he at least deserved a prove it year. I mean, if this year's a fluke and he's not as good as he showed, then you give him a 1-year deal and you say, look, you got us to the playoffs. You got Derek Carr to the playoffs for the first time as he was injured in 2016. I can't see them being like, no, go back to your special teams role. We're going to bring in somebody else. I think you give him a year. Yeah, you might miss out on Brian Flores, but as we've seen, there's like available coaches every year, and I'm all on board the Coach Rich train right now.
The Raiders are in a really good spot. I really do believe they are in a good spot right now. Obviously, you're making the playoffs. That should be enough for me to say that. But like, not only that, I mean, there's a lot of good candidates out there that you could potentially hire, whether that's removing the interim tag off of Rich Bisaccia, making him the full-time head coach. I think that would be a good move. Jim Harbaugh, say what you want, he's been to a Super Bowl. I don't know if he would ever leave Michigan. I would have to see it to believe it. That's why I'm kind of like not really seeing that fit, I guess. But if he does make the jump back to the NFL, goes to the Raiders, that would be a big time Vegas type splash. Brian Flores, excellent head coach, if you ask me. If you could be the team that gets him, hey, yeah, I think your Raiders are in a really, really good spot, Grant.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of finalize the topic, like either or, I'm happy. Like I'm not upset. Jim Harbaugh is probably number three right now, just because I've seen what he's doing at Michigan, and I like the way the Raiders are throwing the ball a lot this season. And Jim Harbaugh's kind of relied on Michigan's run game a little bit more. He's gone after a lot of quarterbacks, but Michigan's success has come from the running game. But on that topic, Josh Jacobs did have a phenomenal night. So I don't know. I think the offense is in good hands, whoever's hands they end up in. But right now, I would be it's it would be almost unloyal to leave Coach Rich right now.
We'll get to the Lions in 30 seconds here. Very quickly, everybody. Give me your early Raiders Bengals playoff game predictions, Grant.
Man, I've already talked myself into this win. So I'm taking like Raiders 31, Bengals 28. I think
Ooh.
it's relatively high scoring, but I think it comes down to a Daniel Carlson field goal, as
It always
six of our
does.
games have this season.
It always does. Tyler.
That's a tough one. I haven't really thought about playoff predictions, all that. So these might change throughout the week. Early predictions, as we're recording on a Monday night, I'll take Cincinnati, but I don't think the Raiders go out without a
Ooh.
fight. It'll be a super close game, but I'll take the Bengals. I think they're just a really talented team. Getting Burrow back after a week off, I'll take Cincy.
Eli.
Give me Vegas, man. Give me Vegas.
Hey,
I'll take
now.
Vegas. Give me Vegas Raiders. Derek Carr is going to win a playoff game.
All right. Go Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, hold on. You're
Wow.
cheering for the Bengals? I'm cheering for the Raiders. I just think the Bengals win.
Man, if Jay, I wish
And
Jay
that's
was
fair.
here. I wish Jay was here. He could back me up. I've been a Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase
You
guy
have
since
been.
the
You have been.
beginning.
You
Yeah,
have
but you're
been.
a Grant guy.
I am.
Since the
So, yeah.
beginning, some would say.
Since the beginning,
Yeah.
yeah. So what's
I'm
going
happy
on?
with either result. I'm happy with either result. How about that?
All
right,
Coward.
Tony, I got a
All right, hold
question
on.
for
No, no, no,
you.
no. We actually really got to get into the show today.
Okay.
We've had enough. Very quickly, Grant, last but not least, how'd your sports betting go this week?
Phenomenally, hitting on basically every NHL bet I made during the
Yeah.
week, and then the no safeties bet and Raiders money line this weekend really just hammered it home. Tony, how was your sports betting?
Six straight winning weeks. Let's keep it rolling.
Oh, I bet you didn't bet on Matthew Stafford then.
He hates Matthew Stafford. I don't know what happened with Eli. He just completely turned heel on Matthew Stafford. I don't know what it is. Every Sunday in our trash talk group chat, he's just hating on Matthew Stafford. And I can't wait for him to get that playoff win on Monday night. Oh, you're not going to be able to control me.
I hope he does. I'll cry.
No.
I will cry.
Yeah, you'll cry because you were wrong.
But when he loses, man, I'm going to be like,
I wish I was right in this case. I don't want to see him win.
Dude, it's just a win-win for Eli. If Stafford wins.
Nah, it's a win-lose.
No, there's no losing. Cause
there's no losing for me.
If he wins, then he just says he's a Stafford fan. If he loses, I told you he'll never get the job
done. That's true. That's true. He can't be wrong in either scenario. Either Stafford wins, he's like, I told you. Or Stafford loses, he's like, I told you, he's a bum.
There you go.
Oh, I hate Eli, but okay. Mute your mic. We gotta talk Lions here. All right. Gentlemen, thanks for being back here. Let's get the show rolling. One topic and one topic only today. We're going to talk Lions, as I promised in last week's show. Today is going to be our annual end of season thoughts on the Lions year. Listen, for me, I'll try to keep it quick. First of all, I will say this. We're not going to have that debate about number one versus number two pick. To be frank with you, I think that's just completely stupid. I can't believe people are actually having that debate, but whatever. What we will talk about is how, despite the Lions only winning three games this year, I tweeted this after the game. I had a lot more fun watching the Lions this year than I ever anticipated, especially in the final month of the year. Well, the final month and two games. I had a lot of fun watching this football team. I really did. And, coming into the season, I said on here and on Twitter, wins and losses don't mean as much for me as they would in previous years. I mean, I did want to see some wins. I didn't want to see them go winless. But wins and losses didn't mean as much for me as, say, which young guys are going to really step up and make a name for themselves. How is Jared Goff going to do? What signs are Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell going to give me that maybe they can be the guys going forward? That was what I was really looking for this year, instead of, just mostly wins and losses, And after this season, I feel like we got some answers to those questions. Not complete answers, but some answers. First of all, there are a lot of young guys on this team that really made a name for themselves. Amon-Ra St. Brown, absolute stud. Penei Sewell, DeAndre Swift, Amani, Jerry Jacobs, and I could just continue to go on and on and on here. There's a lot of young guys that really stepped up and made a name for themselves this year. Guys that can be building blocks for this team going forward. That's exciting. Jared Goff, we talked about it a little bit, I think it was last week. Jared Goff has played so well for this team to close out the season that I'm comfortable going into next year with him possibly as our starting quarterback again. And then maybe most importantly for me, my biggest takeaway from this season, despite only winning three games, is that I feel really comfortable with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. For the first time in a while, I'm sitting here today after the season thinking to myself, the Lions have a GM and head coach that I really, really trust. Starting with Brad Holmes, a lot of the guys that he brought in here this year, especially through the draft, played really, really well. And that gives me a lot of hope for the future and this offseason. And that's one of the reasons, and I've talked about this before, but that's one of the reasons why I didn't care where the Lions were going to end up picking. Number one, number two, number 30, whatever. This past season showed me, hey, it seems like Brad Holmes actually knows what he's doing. He has an eye for talent, especially in the draft. Wherever he's picking, I trust him to make the right pick. So I really trust Brad Holmes right now. And Dan Campbell, I mean, I was one of the biggest Dan Campbell defenders all season long for a reason. Not every game was perfect. There were a few stinkers here and there, sure. But for a good majority of the games this year, especially at the end, Dan Campbell had his guys fighting for him and playing for him. Just look at the situation that the Lions were in towards the end of the season. A one-win, two-win team. It's December/January. Sometimes those players are just like, all right, we're not going anywhere. Let's just pack up and get out of here, But Dan Campbell kept on having his guys fight for him. That really means something. Dan believes in them. They believe in him. I'm really feeling good about Dan Campbell too. Not to mention his play calling really evolved throughout the season. So that's another reason to believe in Dan Campbell, if you ask me. They only won 3 games, but I think this was the most fun 3-win team you're ever going to see. I had fun this year. I really did. And I'm glad to be saying this. I'm looking forward to the future of this football team. That feels good to say as a Lions fan. It really, really does. I'm feeling good about the direction of this team right now. It feels like the arrow is pointing up for Brad Holmes, for Dan Campbell, a lot of the young guys on this team, and just the team in general. It feels like we're on the up. And that feels really, really good to say right now after the season. So that's how I feel. Let's see what the other gentlemen think. Let's start with Tyler. Tyler, what's your, I guess we'll say, your biggest takeaways after that season for the Lions?
Great ending to the season, and I think it's promising going into the offseason and then going into the 2022 season. And, you know, I think there was many questions that just weren't being answered, especially throughout that midway through the season, you know, around Thanksgiving, a little before that time in November. It was just really bad. And it's like, man, where are we really going with the direction of this football team? Because there was never a problem with players buying it, but it seemed like there was a problem with the coaching staff believing in their guys and not giving the confidence in them trying to win a game. And I think, like you said, we saw Dan Campbell really bought into these guys, you know, at some point during the season, and it just looked more relaxed, more comfortable, and they actually looked like, you know, a team that could win a football game, and they showed that in the month of December, and obviously the last game versus the Packers in January ended the season with a 3-3 record, which, you know, take for everything for what happened this season, a 3-3 record is not terrible to close out the season, like for what you had on the field. How inexperienced the players you had on the field to go 3-3 versus some solid teams. You know, you beat the Cardinals who were in the playoffs. You played half of the Packers in the second half, and then you beat a Minnesota Vikings team who was hovering around that, you know, wild card all year. Which, again, you were not a very talented team. You were the underdog in every single game this year, and to go 3-3 to close out the season, it's really impressive, and going out on a high note, you know, that's positive going into 22 season. So biggest takeaway is, like you said, with Holmes, man, you know, he really brought in some nice talent throughout the draft and some building blocks that you could see being on this team for, you know, the long haul. You know, you mentioned guys like Amani, you mentioned guys like Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the list goes on. Just to go on with another draft and more money to use in free agency this year, you're going to add on to that haul, and it just gives you more promise for this rebuild to get out of it, and that hopefully the Lions could be a good football team and maybe, you know, make the playoffs one day, win a division one day, and that's where our ultimate goal is going to be. But, you know, year one, it is what you kind of expected, but maybe even not the way that you expected. Like, the win total, I think 3 wins was a fair number before the season. But I think the way they won these games, you got more confidence in your quarterback. And like you said, there's more confidence throughout the fan base. And I think even the front office itself, that Jared Goff's going to be your quarterback in 22. So, you know, this is what you needed in the first year of a rebuild. You know, you didn't want to take a step backwards from where you were, which you were really low before. So it was going to be hard to take a step backwards.
The bar was really low.
It was really low, but they took that step, and you look around the division now, the Vikings, you know, they clean staff. The Bears clean staff. You right now have a step ahead of them, and you don't know what the Packers are going to do in the offseason.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah.
There's rumors that Rodgers could be out. So if he's out, that's a huge question mark in Green Bay. So as of right now, you have a big step over two teams in your division going into the 2022 season. So that is really huge going forward for this rebuild. So overall, I don't want to call it a successful season, but it was a valuable season that they got done what I think they needed to get done. You know, they didn't exceed, I don't think, anything crazy expectations, but I don't think they underperformed or anything. It was just kind of what I expected, I would say. So it was a very solid season for, you know, Dan Campbell and company.
They took steps forward, and like I said, that was more important for me to see this year than wins and losses. You know, yeah, I mean, obviously, exactly. I was rooting for wins, especially at the end. I did not want to see this team go winless. If we were sitting here today talking about in what would it be, 0-16-1 football team? Oh my!
No, because then at that point you're having a million questions. Like, yeah, what are we even doing here? Do we really even take steps forward? I could say confidently that I think we took steps forward.
Absolutely, I absolutely agree, 100%. Yeah. Let's go to. Let's go to Eli here. We'll end off with Grant. Let's go to another Lions guy. Eli, what was your biggest takeaways from the season for the Lions? I know you watched a lot more this year.
I did. I had fun.
Hey!
That was my biggest takeaway. My biggest takeaway is I had fun watching the Lions for the first time since, what, like Jim Caldwell was here maybe? And even that, even that at times wasn't fun.
Yeah.
That was really stressful. This, like, it, like I feel like I'm crazy to say this, but, like, this is one of the most fun Lions seasons I've ever watched.
No, seriously, that was the most fun three-win football team you're ever going
like,
to see.
It was so, like, stress-free, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you have low expectations, you're going to probably enjoy the product.
It's hard to get disappointed if your expectations are so low.
Yeah, but I mean, still, like, to see them fight, they gave effort every game. They had probably the worst roster I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, no offense to those guys, but like,
no,
they had no business being in some of the games they were in. I'm fully behind Dan Campbell ever since he took over as the play caller. The offense just was rolling so much better. Jared Goff looked better. I don't know if he'll be the play caller going forward, but I wouldn't be mad if he was. And I think he early on it was kind of rough when he was calling the plays. You could tell he was new to him. But
yeah,
like he got better along with the players. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing I like about a young coach like him. Is like he's learning on the fly, like he can learn from his mistakes. You know, some old head coaches, they're not willing to learn, but Dan Campbell seems like he's willing to learn and fix his mistakes. So I'm fully behind him. I hope they take another step forward next year. That's really my biggest question is, like, are they going to, you know, win more games next year, or is it going to be another 3-win season?
I mean, it kind of depends on the offseason. Tyler, you can jump in here, too, if you got something to say. I mean, it depends on the offseason. I don't know if I expect the Lions to have a big offseason. Oh, I mean, in the draft, hopefully they'll have a big draft. I mean, they have the number two pick in the draft, and they have another first-round pick. But, like, in free agency, you know, there's a lot of people who want to go after, like, a top wide receiver and spend some money there. And we'll talk about this once free agency gets closer, but, like, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
I think they got to definitely be better than a 3-win team. I mean, just looking at the division in general, you're going to be playing probably weaker teams with the Vikings and Bears twice a year. You definitely got to win more than 3 games. So that's what I really want to see is more wins now in 22.
Yeah, take steps forward.
And I think they will. You're adding another draft class with a haul of draft picks that Brad Holmes accumulated from last year. So you got a haul of draft picks this year, another free agency class. So no, definitely. You should have a better roster than what you had in 21. This was This was like, you know, the start. This is your base, and you have some guys that you have going forward with this team. So yeah, definitely you have to be better than a 3-win team next year, and I definitely expect them to be better than 3 wins.
I guess what I was trying to say was like I don't know if the Lions are going to take a jump from, like, 3 wins this year to, like, wild card contention next year.
No, but I think it'd be nice if we could be like a team that's like maybe just kind of in the race. You know how kind of Grant was saying, like, with former Raiders teams, like, oh, we have to win out and this team has to lose. I think that would be nice for the Lions if we're, like, in late November or early December even. You know, we're looking at, like, the playoff schedule. I mean, we're looking at the playoff scenarios. It's like, oh, if the Lions win out, which it'll be difficult, obviously, and, like, this team loses, we can make a wild card team. I think if the Lions are in that position and miss the playoffs, I think that's completely fine.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. I mean, it's way too early to talk about this.
But yeah, it's way too early.
Next year, my expectations. Well, it's hard to tell because we don't know the roster. But like, my expectations would probably be like, probably another rebuilding year. I probably won't have too many expectations, but I would still like to see the team take steps forward, you know?
Yeah. Now, 23 is really the year.
2023, Tyler. 2023.
That's my year in Detroit sports, man. Yeah. 2023, dude. The Tigers, the Lions. Hopefully the Lions. Yeah, I mean, all our teams. I hope we can just take that next phase to all these rebuilds and just have a good product for at least most of our teams. The Pistons, obviously, a big question mark. But, you know, the other.
Hey, trust in Bol Bol.
Sure. But, you know, the Lions are obviously. No, they still have a million questions. So I'm not going to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everything's not perfect after this season.
No. But I think 23 should be the destination year where you expect, you know, that's the big boy expectations where you could expect playoffs. Maybe even just a division, which they haven't accomplished since 1993. Ooh. But that's like when you get into the big boy territory, I think, in 2023. That's when you have three draft class under Brad Holmes' belt at that point. Yeah. Three free agency classes under his belt. You hope to have more of an established base at that point. So,
for sure.
So, you know, you just want to see more growth in 22 going to next year. So that's what I'm looking for.
We'll get to Grant in a second here and get his thoughts from an outsider. But Eli, I want to go back to you and I want to ask you about this really quickly. I'm pretty sure it was last week. I think last week Tyler and I and Grant had a conversation about Jared Goff. Now that I think about it, it might have been 2 weeks ago or two episodes ago. I don't know. But in a previous episode, we talked about Jared Goff. And as I said earlier in the show, and as I said in that episode, whenever it was, I'll say it again right now, and I want to get your thoughts on this. Jared Goff played so well to end this season that I am comfortable going into next year with him still as our starter. If the Lions want to go in that direction, they want to put more pieces around him and say, okay, Jared, let's see. Are you the guy for us? Here you go. If they do that in 2022, I'm completely fine with that. What's your take on that? Because you notoriously have always called Jared Goff Jared Goof, but Jared played well to end the year, and I'm comfortable going to next year with him as our starting quarterback. But what about you, who gave him the nickname Jared Goof?
Man, ever since Dan Campbell took over the play calling, Jared Goff looked a lot better. And then you saw TB12 Tim Boyle come in there, and he made me miss Jared Goff.
So, me too.
When I miss you as a player because your backup is stinking it up so bad, that says something. So I'm completely fine with rolling Jared Goff out there next year. I do hope next year is the year we either draft or trade for a quarterback somehow, because I don't think Jared Goff is the guy for the future. But we had this conversation last offseason. I think Jared Goff is fine for now, but you got to find your guy for the future if he's not it. And I don't think he's it just because let's face it, he doesn't have the greatest arm. He doesn't have the greatest accuracy. He's not mobile. He's just very mediocre, maybe below mediocre. He just gets the job done if you're going to win, you know, 6 or 7 games with a bad roster. But I don't know. I think he's fine for next year, but I'd hope we drafted a guy in the next draft, not this draft.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons, and again, Tyler, if you want to jump in here, you can. I think one of the reasons why I'm so comfortable going into next season with Jared Goff, not only because he actually did play well to end the season, but, you know, early draft scouting, if you will, a little draft homework on my end, there's not a lot of guys that really jump out. And I know that's how everybody feels, mostly everybody feels about the quarterback class in this upcoming draft. You know, in 2023, when there's CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, I'll probably feel different if we're back in this situation again in like a top 3 pick range. But as of right now, yeah, I think that's another reason why I'm so comfortable with Jared Goff.
Yeah, next year's humongous for Jared Goff to prove that if he wants to be the quarterback going forward for the Lions. Do I think as of right now he'll be the quarterback in 23? I don't. I'm with Eli. But, I mean, he has all the control in his hands if he wants to be that, you know, the answer, because he's going to have another opportunity to prove that if he could or couldn't be the quarterback. So if he could, though, I mean, obviously that'd be huge. It'd be huge going forward. I've told you this before, and I think I've said it on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you could then use those picks to other players to improve your team and not have to use it towards a quarterback because, like we said, I don't expect the Lions to be picking the top three next year. I really don't. So Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, if you want one of those guys, I think you're going to have to trade up for one of those guys, which is going to, you know, cost draft capital or players or whatever it may be. So if Jared Goff could be the answer, that figures out so much more and it gives you a better shot to build the team. But I'm kind of with Eli right now. I kind of want to see more. I don't really see it. And he brought up the reasons. I agree absolutely with him why the reasons, you know, I don't think Jared Goff's a franchise quarterback. But he's got another year to prove it. And if he could, I hope he could be the answer because, like I said, it makes this so much easier for the rebuild.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying I think Jared's the guy. That's not at all what I'm saying. I don't want anyone to get my words twisted. I'm not saying I think he is the guy. But what I am saying is that he played so well to end the season, and because there's no like real big shiny quarterback prospects at the top of this year's upcoming draft class, while we sit at number two, I'm comfortable going to next season with Jared Goff. And I would hope the Lions are like, okay, let's put some more pieces around Jared. Maybe draft a wide receiver and or maybe sign another wide receiver and just give him more pieces to work with and then go in 2022. All right, Jared, let's see what you got. I'm completely cool with that. I don't know if he's the guy, but I would be cool if that was the case.
He's going to have a legit opportunity. He has a really good offensive line. We saw that this year. You're going to get, hopefully, a full-strength offensive line. Even if it's not full-strength, Hayden Fairley's done wonders.
Yeah.
So you got a really good offensive line. We've seen a good running game from this, you know, this scheme. And to go along with some new receivers, some new shiny toys for Jared Goff, I mean, he has every opportunity to win that job, and he's going to have a more fair opportunity going to next season. So, I mean, it's in his fate if he wants to win or to lose it, really.
Tyler, do you still feel the way you did when we last had this conversation when you said that you wanted to bring in a Marcus Mariota type guy who could really compete with Jared for that job?
I still like a high-end backup. I think it's still valuable to have a high-end backup. So I don't.
What's wrong with Tim Boyle? Oh.
Yeah. I don't think I'd have to go to reasons what's wrong with Tim Boyle.
What about
Boyle?
David Blau?
Yeah, I think we've seen the trust that they have in David Blau.
Eli, what's your thoughts on David Blau?
Man, the fact that Jared Goff and Tim Boyle were stinking it up or dead earlier in the year, and David Blau didn't get 1 minute of action, that should tell you all you need to know about David Blau. His wife is the better athlete in the family.
You did not need to say that. Apologize for
Am
right
I
now.
Wrong? Am I wrong? Am I wrong? I'm not wrong, but I didn't have to say it.
You did not have to say that at all.
So I would still like some type of a competition. I don't think Goff should be handed the job, even though he'll win the job regardless. I feel confident he'll win the job. I thought maybe there'd be some hesitation that like a Tyrod Taylor, like a Bridgewater could maybe beat him, but I don't feel that way anymore.
Man, I feel like Jack Fox could beat him.
Shout out to Jack.
Okay, you're not wrong when you say that.
Shout out Jack Fox.
Yeah, Jack Fox does have a cannon.
And that, who was the other guy? John F. Kennedy? What's his name?
What?
Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy.
I was like, what?
All right, Eli, you're done talking. Mute your mic. You're done. One last thing, and then I do want to get to Grant here. I tweeted this out on Monday, but Dan Campbell really does deserve credit for his play calling, too. His play calling was even at a point where even I was like, oh, jeez. Yeah, maybe you should give that back to Anthony Lynn. But, man, you got to give Dan credit because each week he got better and better and better, and he was evolving with his play calling. And it got to a point where he was having some nice play calls there. You know, we just talked about the whole Tom Kennedy, Khalif Raymond touchdown that we saw on Sunday. He was getting creative and he was opening up the playbook. And Dan did such a good job that, you know, if we went into next season with him as our play caller, and let's say Ben Johnson, who that's a name that Tyler brought up when we last talked Lions a few episodes ago, I'm cool with that if Ben Johnson becomes our next OC. Whoever you want to, you know, make the OC, in-house or not, if Dan's calling plays next year, I'm cool with that. That's how good of a job he did to end this season.
He's not stubborn, and that's something Eli brought up. That he adjusts. He doesn't mind adjusting.
Yes.
He'll admit his mistakes. So that's something, a trait that you would love to see in a coach, definitely.
You know what I love about Dan Campbell after this season? I love being able to read articles like I read on Monday from Albert Breer, where he's talking about like other coaching candidates and how, you know, how good of a job Dan did. That's making teams around the league looking for a head coach look at other former players, like, what's his name in New England, Tyler? Mayo? Their defensive.
He used to be the linebacker for
them.
Jared Mayo? David?
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
We're talking about the same guy, but, like, he's kind of like New England's, I think, de facto DC is what they call him.
I think he's like what Vrabel was over there in New England. Yeah.
Well, the point I'm making here is that, you know, I read a piece from Albert Breer where he was like, yeah, Dan did a good job, that now teams are starting to look at former players, maybe. Like, heck yeah. That's what I like to hear. People are trying to copy us now.
Vrabel, Campbell. Yeah. I mean, the track history right now has been really good.
It's good to hear.
I also, if I could add something, if you ever look at, like, the NFL or ESPN or SportsCenter, when they post, like, a Lions clip, all the comments are just so positive, and they're like from like neutral like fans, like just NFL fans.
People
and
love
they're
us.
All like, they're calling the Lions America's team.
People love us, man. People love us. They want to see us succeed so bad. When we won games this year, especially our first and second wins of the season, man, the NFL world was loving us, and I loved every second of it.
Yeah, we're gonna be on Hard Knocks.
I hope. I used to be so against Hard Knocks. When we had Patricia and there was those rumblings, I was so against it.
I wanted it
but
so bad.
I can understand, but like I was so tired of that regime that I'm like, don't even give me Hard Knocks. Like I'm so sick of everything. But I put Dan on Hard Knocks. That'd be fun. Yeah. All right. Speaking of, as Eli just said, neutral fans showing love. Grant, you're going to have our final word here, then we'll get out of here. So, Grant, as a non-Lions fan from the outside, you're a Raiders guy. What's your biggest takeaways from this Lions team this year?
Yeah, I just had a couple, like, kind of main points. When I talk about the season, I'm kind of talking from week 10 on, just because I think there was some spinning
tires process.
That's fair.
We were winless.
That I mentioned earlier. Yeah, but even in that, like when the Browns got to 0-10, 0-9, 0-8, there kind of came out, you could start seeing these guys playing like desperation, like I want to win or I want to get out of here. And with the Lions, it felt more like desire. Like it was more like, I want to win for this team, not I'm embarrassed to be a part of it. It was like, I want to, like everyone knew, I think Dan Campbell did a good job of kind of hammering it in that this is the ground floor. And I think he just, like I kind of mentioned with Coach Rich on the Raiders, he got everyone to buy in. And it felt different than the Browns 0-16 or like just other teams that have really been struggling. It felt like there was more fight and more heart. And I mean, when I say the Lions are frisky, I don't mean they can come out and beat anyone any week, but they can give you a run for the money. I mean, you look at the Rams, like Dan Campbell, I don't know if he was on play calling at the time, but pulling out all the stops, onside kicks, end arounds, flea flickers, running back passes. I mean, it's like the trick plays, the I don't care, we're going to try it. And if it works, it works. And it usually did with all those fake punts. Oh, my goodness. Secondly, I liked seeing some praise for Jared Goff after coming in riding pretty high. I came in like, there's a good Jared Goff out there. I still don't know if we've seen like that Rams Chiefs game we were talking about earlier, Jared Goff, but there was definitely like an uptick in Jared Goff's talent towards the end of the season when he kind of got his feet under him. I mean, the first half of the season was just getting everyone's feet under everybody, understanding what was going on and kind of getting with the program. And since the playoff or the regular season's over, the Lions or the entire NFL schedule, not schedule, but teams are set. And looking through the Lions opponents in 2022, there's room for growth, as I think just about everybody else has already mentioned. There are some teams that the Lions should probably beat. But it's like there are beatable teams on the schedule. It's a pretty decent schedule, in my opinion, coming up next year. Again, I don't know about road trips or anything like that, but
And
there are
rosters
some
always
winnable
change
games.
too, so.
True. But just looking, right, definitely. But as of right now, what I'm looking at looks like a favorable schedule to make some progress and just kind of like really start building that culture.
So from the outside, you definitely think the arrow is pointing up on this team.
Oh, I think Dan Campbell said it best. I don't have the quote, but we were something about being in the Antarctic and heading to the Bahamas.
We're in the Arctic Ocean right now. We're going towards the Caribbean or something like that.
Exactly. Like,
Yeah.
there's, I mean, what do you guys said? I was having fun. Like, it used to be like, oh,
Yeah.
I'll throw on the Lions because they're the 1 o'clock game, and I know a lot of people who like them. And now it's like, this is going to be one of the most, from a play calling standpoint, one of the most interesting, fun teams to watch. Just every time it was fourth and short, it was like, oh, fake punt, and they got it, onside kicks. Oh my, it was just fun. It was truly like backyard football, playing with nothing to lose, and I loved it.
Good to hear someone from the outside show some love too. Tyler, were there any last thoughts that you wanted to add?
Oh, very quickly, just to go on Grant's point, we play the AFC East and NFC East next year. So if anyone wants to chew on
AFC
that,
East, NFC East.
yeah, and then our
Okay, well
seventh
the Giants is an automatic win.
and the and.
I can guarantee that right now.
And the Jets and the football team.
I wouldn't guarantee the Jets.
I wouldn't guarantee the football team. Depends who they get a
That's I'm
quarterback.
okay. I wasn't saying guarantee as much as a winnable game more than the Bills or the Patriots,
Fair.
who are
Fair.
also on the schedule.
And our 17th game, which like it's not gonna be maybe our 17th game of the schedule, but like you know the extra
Yeah,
game,
who's the random team that we
the
play?
Jaguars
Oh, okay.
at home.
Okay. I think that's a guaranteed win.
There's three right there, maybe.
Don't we play
And the Dolphins, man. The Dolphins are a mess
I
right
think we
now.
have Seahawks
Oh,
too.
we play the Dolphins. Oh
Yeah,
boy. Yeah.
and then our non-division or our non like, you know, division not division games. So, but you know how we play the divisions, the non-games of those in the NFC are the Seahawks at home
Don't we play Carolina?
and then the Panthers on the road.
Yep.
Yep.
That's another one where it depends on the QB, I guess. And again, so much happens in an off season that like it's tough to talk about this right now, but
Especially now.
yeah. But despite that, I'll say it right now, we're beating the Giants next year.
Yeah, I'll guarantee the Giants. Everything else we'll wait and see. But the Giants, I am full on board if Joe Judge is the coach.
I cannot believe Brian Flores got fired and Joe Judge is staying in New York. That's absolutely unbelievable to me. But that, oh my, if we were in Miami or New York today, oh boy, my head would be spinning. But yeah, listen, to wrap up the topic and the show here, listen, like I said earlier, and like we all kind of agreed, it was a fun year this year. They took steps forward. And, you know, for me specifically, that was what I was looking for more than, say, wins and losses. I mean, don't get me wrong, those three wins were awesome. The first win was awesome. The second win, where we demolished the Cardinals, was beautiful. And then the third win, ending the season with a home win against the Packers, given we played the backups in the second half. But even when Aaron Rodgers and Devontae were playing in the first half, we were up at halftime. I'm just saying. That was a good way to end the season, too. I don't want to hear talk about, oh, we could have had the number one pick. Don't care. We still got number two, and we ended the season with a home win over the Packers. All three of our wins were fun this year, but most importantly, the team took steps forward, and it's good to sit here right now after the season and go, hey, we took steps forward. It's progress. It is absolute progress in this rebuild. And I think Tyler was the one who said it. This was a good first step in the rebuild. Now you gotta keep going. You gotta keep going. You gotta take more steps this offseason, get some more talent in here through the draft and through a free agency. And then you take steps forward next year. As we sit here right now with the season just ending, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good about the direction of this team. All right, gentlemen. Good show this week. Boys, it's NFL playoff time. Do we have any very quick early Super Bowl picks?
Can I go with my preseason predictions? It's
Sure.
changed. But my preseason predictions are in play right now, and I don't feel too bad about them. I had Chiefs and Niners.
Okay.
I think the Niners can make a playoff run. I know
they're
the
sixth seed. They could. I think they could upset the Cowboys on Sunday. I really could.
That's a team I could see taking down the Packers if any team could take down the Packers.
Oh, that'd be nice. Because I don't see anyone being the Packers. My pick is Packers Chiefs, but yeah.
Cold game at Lambeau. Kyle Shanahan running the rock on a bad run defense in Green Bay.
Hey now.
I'm sticking with Niners Chiefs. I'm going to stick with my original
pick. Stick with your preseason pick. I love it. Eli, quickly.
I'm going to go.
Not Stafford.
Not Stafford for sure. I'm going to go Bucks and Bucks, Raiders, Derek Carr, Super Bowl MVP.
The Raiders do have a Team of Destiny vibe going right now.
If they win the Super Bowl, you got to give them a 30 for 30.
I know. I've already been calling for the doc all season. I really would need the doc if they win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Grant, oh, you'll goodness. End us off here.
Oh, I mean, Raiders Bucks.
Who wins?
I mean, it's the rematch of 2002, 2003.
There we go.
But the Raiders take it this time. If that happens, I will get like a chest tattoo of the Raiders shield. If the Raiders win the Super Bowl this year,
I think I'll get a chest tattoo.
I think Raiders. we all got to get Raiders tattoos if they win the Super Bowl.
After all that crap I talked about them this year, if they even went to the Super Bowl, I'm getting a chest tattoo of the Raiders.
I am going to save this and we'll revisit it again. All right, thank you. Safe. Yeah. Oh. Well, we're going to end the show there. Thank you all for listening. Eli, Grant, and Tyler, thank you for stopping by as always. And thank you all for listening. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Browski. Thank you all for listening. Shout out to Roast Dubber once again for sponsoring this episode. We'll catch you on
the
next episode.
I just bought some, by the way.
Oh, thank you, Grant. Thank
Use code
you.
Tony D. Capital 20, T, D. capital D, no spaces.
Yeah.
20% off.
There we go. All right. Thank you all for listening. For my entire crew, my name is Tony Dabrowski. We'll catch you all next time.